Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. This is Jay Armore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Thursday, the 8th day of November, year of our Lord, 2012. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Well, we have, as we have most mornings, a number of interesting earth change headlines at standeo.com. And let's go through some of those real quick. Going down to Guatemala, 7.4 earthquake strikes off the coast of Guatemala, 8 injured, 1 reported dead. Going up to the northeast, some evacuations ahead of snowy nor'easter, Mother Nature going to keep kicking us. Then we have this storm threatens up to a foot of fresh snow in the wake of Hurricane Sandy. And we may have snow from Delaware to Maine. That would be a huge snowstorm, wouldn't it? In addition to the existing power outages, we may get 30,000 additional power outages from the snowstorm. Next headline, Staten Island desperate for underwear, says an official. Then we have disorganized federal workers add to mayhem. And a couple of gasoline-related headlines. Gasoline still hard to come by. New York probes price gouging. Gasoline sold in New York for $8 a gallon on Craigslist. Going out to the Rocky Mountains and Northern Plains, possible weekend blizzard for Northern Plains and the Rocky Mountains. Going back to the East Coast, geologists say the East Coast earthquakes travel farther, do more damage than previously thought. And a follow-up on that, the 2011 Virginia earthquake triggered landslides in extraordinary distances. Next, we've got Lava Lake, the Star of Volcanoes National Park light show. And going to Down Under, Force of Nature, dramatic photos show the brutality and beauty of Australia's changing seasons. And we'll end it this one. TEPCO believes Fukushima may cost $125 billion. We do have Tim Spencer patiently waiting in the green room. Here's our first break. All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Thursday, the 8th day of November. We do have patiently waiting in the green room my friend Tim Spencer. Tim is a husband, father, grandfather, rancher, veteran of the U.S. Navy Submarine Corps, and the proprietor of the excellent website ruralsurvival.info. ruralsurvival.info. If you go to my homepage, thelibertyman.com, you'll see several references to ruralsurvival.info on my homepage and on my links page. And without further ado, good morning, Tim Spencer.
Good morning, Mr. Moore. How are you doing this morning?
Well, enjoying a brisk fall morning. It's down here at near the creek. It's 24 degrees, up a little bit higher. It's on the ridge, near the ridge. It's about 5 degrees warmer. Tim, I've got reports. I don't know that you and I have talked about it, but they keep coming in. I have a confidential source, a doctor who treats men and women who are civilian employees at Fort Leonard Wood and soldiers both. And I'll give you a quick summary of what we're hearing, and this is regarding the New Madrid seismic zone. A frantic training of young men to become carpenters, plumbers, and electricians to deal with rebuilding after the seismic zone cuts loose. Thousands, many, many thousands of large green plastic three-person coffins being delivered and warehoused. And then earlier this week, this is the newest thing, they're taking delivery of many dozens of these, what I would call pontoon bridges, that allow them to quickly span a river and cable these things together so that vehicles can get from one side of a very wide river to another, to the other side. They're in a hurry, Tim, to get these things done, get them in place. I don't know what the government knows. I don't know what their prediction capabilities are. I know that Standale was accurately predicting earthquakes 3 days in advance up until about 2 years ago. But I have a lot of concern about this, don't you?
Oh, yeah, of course I do. The loss of life would be tremendous, not to mention the destruction of infrastructure would make moving goods across the Mississippi near impossible.
Right, right.
I've heard little bits and pieces of what you're talking about. If it is, in fact, true that they're frantically training people to rebuild, I'd say for once Uncle Sam is doing something right. We all know what's going to eventually happen, but I have no idea when.
There's a, you know, many parts of our government really aren't part of any given administration. They just do what they're supposed to do without involvement of whatever administration might be in place. And I think that's what's going on here. These GSA or GS rated employees, they span decades. I know one locally here, she just retired. I think about 5 years ago she retired. She started work as a GS rated employee when Dwight Eisenhower was president of the United States.
Wow.
Wow is right. And there's many people like that that span generations and decades working for the federal government. Their motivation is to have a good career and do the right thing along the way. And I think that's the kind of people that are responsible for getting ready for this event on New Madrid Seismic Zone. It could literally, and here's their concern. Here's what I was told about the pontoon bridges. They're concerned that the bottom of the river is going to drop so low that the Gulf of Mexico will come north, possibly as far north as the current Louisiana Arkansas state line.
And that would be quite catastrophic, really.
Well, to say the least. Most of Louisiana would be underwater, of course, and much of Mississippi. The Mississippi would be, all the entire length of it would be far wider and far deeper, causing all the rivers to back up. All our local rivers would back up and be deeper. There is precedence for the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks being a series of islands. That is one of the things I heard from a couple of the men I debriefed that were at the classified briefings concerning what's going to be happening in our not-too-distant future. As you and I both know, Tim, there's thousands of what we call low-water bridges, which are little more than a slab of concrete on top of some large pieces of corrugated pipe, allowing these creeks to go underneath the slab of concrete. If those creeks came up 4 or 5 feet, it would isolate many places, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would, absolutely. It does it now if we have a good rainstorm.
Right. It does that now for a matter of typically several hours, but this would be a more of a quasi-permanent thing. It would.
Yeah. If you got corrugated pipe under your low-water bridges, you're living in one of those modern counties.
One of what kind of counties?
A modern one. Yeah.
As opposed to just having plain old gravel where you drive through the water?
Right.
Well, there's some of that, too, I know. Anyway, Tim, we had an election a couple of days ago. I wasn't really surprised at the outcome, were you?
No, I wasn't surprised. The only thing that surprised me about the whole election was that it was declared over so quickly that there apparently isn't going to be the recounts I was expecting in the court battles, which I guess is really a good thing.
Well, what we went through a few years ago with Al Gore and hanging chads and so forth was an embarrassment, quite frankly.
I agree.
An absolute embarrassment.
And I was really afraid the same thing would happen with this election. But I'm glad
it was a concern. It was a concern, absolutely. But we didn't have that, and really the popular vote is not what matters anyway. It's the Electoral College. I know any number of people who would like to see the Electoral College go away, don't you?
Yes. I happen to be one of them.
Okay.
I personally believe we should do the popular vote instead of the Electoral College. I understand the reasoning behind it when it was instituted, but in today's world, I really think it served its purpose, and we ought to go back to the popular vote.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of people who share those concerns and share those feelings. Tim, what are some of the things you're paying attention to this week?
Well, I've been so busy working on that website, getting it spruced up, that I haven't been following too awful much. Of course, I always pay attention to what's going on in the Middle East every day. Things are heating up just a little bit in Golan Heights area. I think it's more by accident than by intent on the part of Syria. Overflights, occasional mortar landing on Israeli territory, stuff like that. I'm really at a loss as to being able to predict what's in the cards in the next few weeks as far as Iran goes. I just don't know where the administration's going to go on that.
Well, this administration has not been quite as pro-Israeli as most of the previous ones, which I regard
that's an understatement, John.
Well, I regard that as a good thing. Mm-hmm. Any country that would intentionally attack and try to sink one of our warships, USS Liberty, is not our friend.
I agree.
So there's some unknowns here as to what will happen with Iran. We could get dragged into this thing whether we want to or not, couldn't we?
Yeah, very, very easily. Very easily. In fact, I believe if Israel attacks Iran, it's Iran's intention to drag us into it, and the Israeli intention. So, I hope that none of that happens, you know, but I don't know.
I hope so, too. It's a dangerous, dangerous world we live in. Well, getting back to ruralsurvival.info, you have a whole new look to your website, don't you?
Oh, yeah. And the feedback I've gotten has been very positive on it. I'm quite pleased with the way it's looking. I'm always open for suggestions for improvement, of course. I'm always looking for new writers. And we did pick up one new writer this past 10 days or so, Colonel Daniel E. Kristoff. And he has submitted several articles, one on water storage and one on making liquid laundry soap very cheaply. In particular, I really enjoyed. And our guest commentaries area, he's submitted a couple of articles there also. Let me see. One of them was on, I found quite entertaining, 10 reasons why Bigfoot can't exist, and each reason with references. So that was interesting reading.
It sounds like it. 10 reasons why Bigfoot could not exist?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Well, that's always been kind of a source of entertainment for many, many people for a lot of years.
It still is.
Is there anything else you're paying attention to this week?
Let me see. Well, other than the storm up in the Northeast and the fiasco being created there by some of our not-so-intelligent civil servants, not much other than that. I'm sorry to hear they're getting slammed again with a nor'easter this time.
Well,
it's kind of a mess.
You're right. We got our next break here. The call number is 800. All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Thursday, the 8th day of November, and we are back. Tim, we have our first caller here. We've got Gunther from New York. Good morning, Gunther.
Good morning to you and your guest. Very interesting show. You know, prior to the run-up here to the election, I was hearing, you know, all of the people, a lot of the people saying, you know, these elections are rigged. They're totally rigged. You know, the machines are rigged. They're all owned by, you know, stifled and all this kind of stuff. The interesting thing, you know, I know that if Romney had been elected, all of these people would be screaming that it was rigged. But since Obama was elected, you know, all of a sudden, you don't hear them, none of them claiming that it was rigged. So I think there's a prejudice, you know, where the Republicans are perceived to be crooked, you know, and the Democrats are perceived to be honest somehow. I think that's really a false perception. I mean, the fact of the matter is more people, you know, in the critical states showed up and voted for Obama, and that's why he won. And the same would have been true if Romney won. So I think these only people who claim elections are rigged, I think there's a phoniness about them because you don't hear them claiming that now, you know, that Romney lost. They seem to be hear all these cries. Oh, it's rigged. It was rigged for Obama. You know, you don't hear right. that.
Right, you don't. Well, thank you for your call, Gunther. We appreciate it. Tim, you got any follow-up on that?
Oh, very, very astute observation and very true. Gunther hit the nail right on the head. There is, of course, depending on what section of the country you live in, prejudices on both sides. Of course, you know, my opinion, both parties are two heads of the same snake. I probably just made a lot of people mad, but I don't care.
No, that's
you know,
okay.
That's just me.
This audience will agree with you. I think it was, it's been said many, many decades ago, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the two, at the national level especially.
Right.
I kind of, you know, I'm a life member of the NRA, but they'll never get another penny of me. But they got a commemorative coin set for the eight U.S. presidents who were NRA members, two of which signed some of the most anti-gun legislation that we've had since World War II, Ronald Reagan and the first George Bush, both of
right.
whom were life members of the NRA, both of whom signed extremely anti-gun legislation. So I don't see a dime's worth of difference between the two myself.
Neither do I.
So you're looking for new authors, I take it?
Oh, absolutely. I'm always looking for new authors. Anybody listening that has a desire to write on any subject that will help people in a situation, particularly rural people, that will help people in a situation where the normal goods and services are not available, please drop me an email, tell me what you got, and we'll get it published. You know, the more people that put information on there, the better, and I will make room. And I might have to consolidate some things like I did with our contributing authors to make enough room, but the information's still there. So,
okay, well, that's good. That's good. What would it take to become an author for ruralsurvival.info?
Basically just a desire to write. If they want to write, best thing to do is contact me at office@ruralsurvival.info. It's office@ruralsurvival.info. I'll get everybody pointed in the right direction and we can put some stuff together. Also, while I got you on the phone, John, I want to, remind people about our mailing list, our newsletter mailing list. It's completely free. There's a link on the page to sign up for it. It's opt-in. I don't put out a whole lot of newsletters, but when I do, it's usually something of substance that people should really know
right,
about.
Right, right. And I'll be relying on your newsletter service to help get it, if there's any really urgent updates out, to get them out to as many people as we can, as quickly as we can.
Right. Well, we're up to about 400 people on that mailing list now. So
that's a good start. That's a good start.
Yeah.
And we need to integrate that with my YouTube channel and make it more seamless so that people can all communicate with each other.
I hadn't even thought about that. That's a good idea, John.
Right, right. Well, sometimes brilliant thoughts come in the heat of battle, which is what we're in the middle of with this radio show here. I may be going deer hunting this weekend. I've never been deer hunting in my life. In fact, I haven't been hunting at all for animals in about half a century. I've been hunting for men, murder suspects and so forth, the last 40 years, and did a little hunting in Vietnam. But it's going to be a real adventure, Tim. I got some coaching yesterday from an experienced deer hunter, and I'm looking forward to the possibility of looking for Bambi in the woods.
Well, if you're getting extra meat, if you don't have room for, you know my number.
You'll volunteer some freezer space, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know me, John. I get no thrill whatsoever out of hunting. I go out and take what we need, and that's it. You know, I don't enjoy hunting. I enjoy being able to have the meat in the freezer, though.
Well, I guess if I enjoyed hunting, I would have done it more recently than 1962, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Well, here's our break. We'll be talking about energy cleaners here. We got a caller on hold. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.